Welcome, one and all, and children of the revolution, to Ace of Spades, PDX's What You're Not Listening To. I'm your host, engineer, writer, and producer, Ben Brown Jr., and this is our inaugural show. And I had been privately podcasting for 4 years on my website and decided I was going to take it up a notch. I've learned a lot over these last 4 years, and hopefully it will show in our very first program here. And I had to start it off with a bang. And what other bang could we have other than the one, the only, the prettiest man in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the man who pretty much invented rock and roll, Little Richard. There are a few irrefutable truths in rock. One of those that truly cannot be challenged is the fact that pretty much every single piece of music considered rock comes down to two very distinct talents, both of whom got their big break in 1955, months before Elvis did on the national scene in 56. The first is Chuck Berry, who was rock and roll's original guitar innovator and storyteller. The other is rock and roll's first great shouter and truly electrifying performer, Little Richard, now 86 years of age and still with us. Richard Penniman was one of 12 children born in what was then the deep segregated South in Macon, Georgia. After his father's murder, Little Richard desperately wished to become a big star to help support his family. He had been given his first taste of fame after being briefly mentored by one of gospel's greatest talents, Sister Rosetta Tharpe. After recording for several years with no success, he was working as a dishwasher and janitor at a local Greyhound bus station when he wrote the initial words to what would become, according to the Library of Congress, unique vocalizing over the irresistible beat that announced a new era in music. According to Little Richard, "Black people lived right by the railroad tracks, and that train would shake their houses at night. I would hear it as a boy, and I thought, I'm going to make a song that sounds just like that." Over the next hour, we're going to be looking at tracks from 20 years worth of recordings by Little Richard, all the way back from 1952, before his big break on Specialty Records, and all the way through 1972 on Reprise Records. Kicking it all off is, what else, Tutti Frutti in 1955, and we'll see you in about 30 minutes.
I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. She rock to the east, she rock to the west, but she's the girl that I love best. Do to me, do the booty, oh Rudy, 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 pop, pop, loop, pop. Yeah. can't believe you wanna leave. When you know that it hurt me so, dying on bending knee, oh, begging please not to go. Of all the love we shared and all the fun we had, and now you wanna leave. Don't you know that that'll drive me mad?
Baby, got to have me. Don't you know I need it, baby?
Bama Lama Bama Lou got a girl named Lucinda. We call her the Great Pretender. Woo! Got a girl named Lucinda. We call her the Great Pretender. And when she talks, she says Bama Lama Lou. Bama Lama Lou.
turntable right now. Everybody's favorite, Little Richard. Come in, man.
Slipping and a sliding, Gene Noble, with that good word on Royal Crown Hairdressing. Everywhere I go, and I go is just about everywhere, the girls are really gone on Royal Crown Hairdressing. Even old Long Tall Sally use it. You know something, Gene? I goes for the girls with that Royal Crown look, cause man, she's got it.
Gonna tell that Mary about Uncle John. He claim he has a music, but he having a lot of fun, oh baby.
Gentlemen, good evening. I'm glad to be here, and I hope you are the same. So, Miss Thoreau, you are now finna hear Little Richard and his Upsetters. We sustain the name of the Upsetters. And at this time, I'm going to do my recording of Baby on the Other Side, which is one that I've made, and I hope that you like it too. All right, boys, get Baby upset. Thank you.
And welcome back, one and all, to Ace of Spades PDX's What You're Not Listening To. And I'm once again your host, Ben Brown Jr., our inaugural podcast here on Blueberry. And I couldn't be more excited. Hopefully, I've learned a lot during the 4 years I spent doing this privately with different types of material, with different types of audio equipment as well, and not really knowing what I was doing. I don't know if I still do or not, but I've gotten a little bit better at not knowing what I'm doing. Anyway, the reason you're here, Children of the Revolution, is because we're kicking all this off with probably the greatest rock and roller, probably the very first rock and roll star ever, Mr. Little Richard, who is still with us at the age of 86. Let's recap what we've heard in the first half of our show, shall we? Kicking It All Off was a song that was co-written by a woman named Dorothy Bostry, and this is Tutti Frutti. And as the legend goes, this was just kind of a song that Bumps Blackwell, who was a staff producer at Specialty Records, which was owned by Art Roop, they just came up with one night when they were being frustrated in the studio trying to catch that electrifying energy that Richard had done so well on stage. Unfortunately, the lyrics were probably even too much for radio today, and it's been almost, well, 60 years later. It's a song about two gay men having anal sex, yes. So lyrics were cleaned up a little bit and became Richard's very first million seller. After that, it was Keep a Knockin', Specialty single number 611. That was the A-side from 1957. And following that, our third song was its flip side. A fantastic number there, kind of Fats Domino-ish there. Can't Believe You Want to Leave. Both of those also ended up on Richard's 1957 album, Here's Little Richard. If you do not own this album, go out and buy it. It's also been re-released on vinyl recently. Fantastic rock and roll record. After that was one of the Richard records for a number of labels. And this one was for the OK label, which is a Columbia label. Probably one of his best of the 1960s. Sounding very much a Stax Volt, like a lot like Otis Redding, which is interesting because for those of you who are unaware, Otis Redding got his very first start as one of the Upsetters, which is one of Little Richard's backing bands, and that was I Need Love, and that was a single A-side from 1966. Following that, after several years, and we're going to get into this later on the show, why Little Richard left rock and roll for a while, he eventually decided to come back in the mid-60s and ended up back on Specialty with this song that sounds kind of a lot like Tutti Frutti, but has his own great little groove going on for it there, from 1964, Specialty single 692, Bama Lama, Bama Emma Lou. And following that was a B-side, and Little Richard was so popular, his A and B-sides of his singles would often become hits in their own right, and this was one of them. From 1956, Specialty single number 572, Slippin' and Slidin'. After that was one of the very first eight songs that Little Richard ever recorded to Wax. Didn't really go anywhere. It was from his second single from February of 1952, Get Rich Quick. Very different vocal delivery there than what we're all known for, and that was a single A-side. And after that, our eighth track up was from WLAC with the one and only Gene Nobles, and that was a recording of a commercial that the artist would come on to WLAC and do these live, typically in one take. WLAC had one of the most powerful signals of any radio station in the world at the time, and in the late 40s and 50s, they would broadcast what were called race records, which was pre-R&B black music, and you could hear it at night, all the way from Canada, all the way down to the Caribbean, and all the way to the Mississippi River from Nashville, Tennessee. Gene Nobles was one of the four DJs who would play this music late at night. After that was a Specialty single, A-side 572, Long Tall Sally, and the song we just heard, Baby, a 1955 demo recording of that. And as stories go, Art Roop was really not impressed with the demo tape that Little Richard had sent in, saying that it looked and sounded really, really poor quality, and it was, and you can tell by this, but the only reason that Little Richard actually got a record contract was his absolute persistence in contacting over and over and over again the head of Specialty Records. Persistence pays off, people. And unbeknownst to some of you who probably weren't alive at the time, or didn't know. In the late 60s and early 70s, there was a wave of nostalgia about early rock and rollers, and this was no more evident in films and in TV. You saw it in the Woodstock film. It was also evident in shows like Happy Days and American Graffiti by the one and only George Lucas, pre-Star Wars fame. And many of these original artists, you know, like Chuck Berry and Little Richard and all that, who weren't playing to huge audiences, were all of a sudden found themselves playing in large arenas and stadiums for the very first time to 20,000 people and upwards at any given show, and making money for the first time in their careers. And CBS in the UK decided to capitalize this on 1967, signed Little Richard, and they only recorded one single, but what a great one. This is Get Down With It, and we'll see you just before our grand finale.
Well, all right, everybody, let your hair down. If you got on a wig like some people think I got on, and this is my own beautiful hair, what to do with it, fellas? Take it off! I said, and get down with it. Clap your hands. Fool, let's go by the golden rule, let's go. Come on, get in line. I said, stomp your feet.
He was very well established. When this movie came about, it was made at 20th Fox, and they called me up wanting to use a soundtrack, I think Ready Teddy or Rip It Up, I forget which now, and I got to know the musical director, and he was describing the picture, and he said their opening song was going to be a song called The Girl Can't Help It, and just by the title, I said, oh, you're not going to have a black person sing that? Who's going to do that? And he said, Fats Domino. I said, oh, Fats is terrific, but if you're going to have a black singer do it, you ought to get Little Richard, because he's got a lot more excitement than Fats. Fats got a lot of feeling and everything, but if you want to start this picture, picture off, and knowing the plot and everything, you ought to get Little Richard. So he gave me the score, and I went down to New Orleans, and I got Little Richard to do it, and he couldn't even say some of the words, but he stumbled through it, and that's the way that got into the picture.
Look at sucking, look at sucking, look at sucking, look at sucking. some, give me 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 some.
And rock, tin-a-tin, ooh, tin-a-tin, 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 you know that too.
diamond rings and pearls.
Welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to here on Ace of Spades PDX. And I'm your host, Ben Brown Jr., the one and only Ace of Spades PDX. And I hope you're all having a great time on our very first inaugural podcast here launching on Blueberry. Had to start off with something amazing and had to be Little Richard because reasons. And if you can't figure it out since the show, then you know, maybe your ear is in your foot. I don't know. Listen and learn, children. All right. Yeah. Hey, because that's what it's all about. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our show before we get into our truly unique grand finale here. And that's pretty much the way for those of you who are don't know my show from before or how this is all going to work. For the most part, there will be some shows that are interrupted, but there will be a first part, about 30 minutes, second part, about 25, and we'll be finishing up typically with about a five-minute grand finale, kind of breaking into 30-minute segments there, kind of like sides of an album, yes. We kicked it all off with a UK-only single from 1967, Get Down With It, and then we heard an interview excerpt with Specialty Records on our Art Roop that was recorded in 2010, 2011, exact date is unknown. Mr. Art Roop is still with us, and he is over 100 years old. Can you believe it? After that was The Girl Can't Help It, from 1956, specialty single of number 591. It was also the title track to what is considered one of the greatest rock and roll movies of all time, starring one and only Jane Mansfield. After that was a single B-side on the Reprise label from 1972, Nookie Sookie, pretty much almost an instrumental there as the B-side to Mockingbird Sally. After that was a specialty single A-side, number 606 from 1957, Jenny Jenny. And following that was Good Golly Miss Molly from 1958, also on specialty, and again on specialty single 598, Lucille from 1957. And I swear to you, if we had a dime for every time a woman's name is mentioned in the Little Richard song, we'd probably have money just piled up to our chins several times over. It's kind of fun and wonderful all at the same time. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, during the 1950s and early 1960s, it seemed that rock and roll was going to die. It, you know, started out by primarily black vocal groups and really given wings by artists like Little Richard and, of course, Chuck Berry, and then taken over by white artists like Elvis Presley. And you have to understand the way of the times. There was a whole lot of Jim Crow attitude and a whole lot of racism at the time. A lot of the establishment hated rock and roll because you never saw white people, particularly white teenagers, being enamored of black people whatsoever until rock and roll came about. There's some great images the Smithsonian has. There's one of Chuck Berry sitting at a table, and he's surrounded by about 20 young white teenagers all waiting for his autograph. You'd never seen anything like that here in the United States before. That is how explosive it was. Rock and roll was, for many white people, was their first introduction to black culture of any kind en masse. And as a result, a lot of not-so-subtle racism was part of the anti-rock and roll backlash. And by the end of the 50s and early 1960s, it seemed that all the major stars were sidelined. Chuck Berry himself was jailed in 1959 for what is now considered trumped-up charges of the Mann Act. Elvis Presley was drafted and came back and stopped pretty much touring for a decade and started making a series of truly terrible films. Of course, Buddy Holly, the Big Bopper, and Ritchie Valens all died in a plane crash in 1959. Jerry Lee Lewis's career was sidelined because, well, it was found out that he married his teenage cousin. Yes, even to this day, would probably still be very much a scandalous thing. And Eddie Cochran, of course, in 1960, up-and-coming rocker, and he was hugely popular in the United Kingdom as well, died in a car accident. Little Richard's story, of course, is different. It seems that when he was on tour in Australia in 1957, the Russians had just released Sputnik, and Sputnik came closest to the Earth over Australia. And as the legend goes, and no one's really disputing this, Richard saw this light in the sky and took it as a message from God. He came from a very deeply religious family, and is a deeply religious man himself. Threw off all his jewelry into the ocean and then quit the tour and then went back to Los Angeles and got a degree in divinity and recorded several gospel albums before returning to rock and roll because he's Little Richard and only Little Richard could have a story like this, and it was really, truly amazing. During that period of time when all these other rock and rollers were sidelined, including Little Richard of his own account and of his own accord, I should say, he released several gospel records, and one of the best really showcases his truly amazing gift for singing. You don't really hear it. And if you've seen the movie, it's a 1972 film called the London Rock and Roll Show, and you actually, there's an interview with Little Richard there, and he actually states this, like, you've never heard me sing anything but straight up rock and roll, and he just belts out an amazing a cappella number, and his voice is just amazing, and you hear some of that here. And if you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, and requests are always welcome. Please drop us a line, and we'd love to hear from you, children of the revolution. Love to you all. My name is once again Ben Brown Jr., and thank you for listening to What You're Not Listening To. This is from 1961, from the album The King of the Gospel Singers, which was produced by Quincy Jones and features the Howard Roberts Chorale. This was also repackaged as an album called It's Real. And when you see the cover, you will not even guess that it's Little Richard, because he's without his trademark makeup and hair and outrageous outfits. This is from 1961 on the Mercury Records label. This is Peace in the Valley.
I am tired and so weary, but I'm most all alone, till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh yes, where the
for me.